I'm going to start by summarizing the lecture from last week. So, and if you have questions about last week, this is going to be a good time to ask those questions. Yeah, if anyone has questions about last week, and Freddie, you weren't here last week, I don't think, so you'll have lots of questions. Yes.
Yes.
So here's how it starts. We imagine we have some bit of a manifold, M sub A, with fields defined on it. These fields consist of the metric and all the matter fields. So each point P on this bit of manifold, you have the fields defined. And this bit of manifold is such that it plots. If you map it into operational space, then you get this surface gamma sub A, which is inside this region A of operation space. So this space is spanned, I'll just draw it in the background, is spanned, just for the axis up here, so. By a bunch of scalars. These scalars can be calculated from the fields in here. So this is a region of operational space. We have a bit of solution that maps into this region and gives us this surface gamma sub A. But we'll be interested in lots of different solutions, which will have different manifolds. So we're going to need an idea of some way to talk about lots of different sort of manifolds that plot into this space. This is kind of good because it means that we can look at, we don't have to fix on a particular manifold when we're trying to set up this, this framework. Okay. And so this, we're going to use this thing I called chartable space. I'll explain that again just over here. So here's the way a solution looks that pertains to this region here. So if psi tilde, the tilde is important, is given by specifying each point P in this manifold the fields at that point. Okay. So that's all clear. Then also we can define this object where we take the tilde off and we just take all the diffeomorphisms acting on this psi tilde A's to get this, it's an equivalence class of these solutions. And this object is just by construction invariant under diffeomorphisms. So this corresponds to the actual Biebels inside this region. Questions there? No. Okay. Now, like I said, we want to have these chartable spaces. Yep.
So every time you say Biebel, you mean diffeomorphism invariant?
Yeah, in GR, the Biebels are diffeomorphism invariant objects, yeah. In general relativity, in the general relativity community, people normally call these observables. But my contention is that's the wrong name.
Like, you're not trying to postulate anything more than.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Okay, so this chartable space, I want to talk about that. So first of all, imagine we have some something XAI, okay? And this is going to be, either it's going to be a set of coordinates, so here's mu running over 0 to 3, or it's going to be the blank object. To look at this example here, imagine we have a manifold, and we cover the manifold with a set of charts. So these are coordinate systems that cover different regions of the manifold. And then we're, if you consider a point P here, well, this particular point has a coordinate here and a coordinate here. It doesn't have a coordinate from here. So it's going to be, this point P is going to be mapped to this X. Again, I forget the name of this, breve. The latex symbol is breve. So x breve a is going to be given by giving the coordinates in the first position, the blank in the x2 position, because the point isn't here, then the coordinates again in the free position, and then all blanks. Okay. And you can just consider this kind of object in general. So these are kind of, for any manifold, you'll be able to cover it with objects like this. And so I'm going to say that this x Reeve lives in the dollar A space. Yep.
Do you want to assume that the number of charts is countable, or is it not?
I guess it's countable, yeah, but potentially, but infinite, yeah. Yeah, I think it's a case that in the theory of manifolds, you can always cover it by a countable set of charts. Usually it's a finite number of charts for the cases that we consider, but it could, in principle, be countably infinite. Okay. So these points x prime live in this space dollar A. And if you take the collection of points in a manifold, they will map to some subset of the points in dollar A. Okay. So now the idea is to set up an abstract space. This is the chartable space WA, which is in one-to-one correspondence with dollar A. Okay. And here the philosophy is similar to, you know, when you set up the theory of manifolds, you can consider a set of charts that, you know, that a given set of coordinate systems that cover your space where each point has a coordinate system, a label. Or you can consider the abstract manifold. So W is like the abstract manifold, but there's a one-to-one map between it and the dollar A space. Okay. And we choose a particular one-to-one map, and I call that the fiducial super atlas. It's a fiducial, it's a super atlas because it acts any M like this, any M, any manifold can be written as a subset of WA. Just you can see that above. And then FA will provide an atlas for each manifold. Okay. Any questions there? But yeah.
So what are the properties that this F should have? Because it's just a big projection. I don't see what is the structure that you are trying to move?
Yeah, it's a one-to-one map. You're asking me if it should have more.
Because in the case of manifolds, the non-trivial structure is coming from the
overlap region.
From the overlap
right.
Region,
yeah.
So
yeah.
The structure
okay.
there is not
right.
just a one-to-one map.
Right. So any collection of points which constitutes a manifold has to have the property when you look at the sort of the atlas that's induced that it respects the smoothness conditions. So not all subsets of W would correspond to manifolds. I think that's the so they have to be ones that have the appropriate smoothness on the transition maps between different patches. Any more questions?
Would all the subsets of W have to have Lorentzian signature necessarily?
At this stage, we're just talking about a manifold. We haven't put a metric on it yet. So yeah, we're not at that stage in the
structure. Just want to make sure
about that. Yeah. That sort of question belongs up here. And indeed, I'm going to assume that the metric has Lorentzian signature. Okay. Then we can do one more thing which is useful. Because we're going to associate a different chartable space with each region of operational space that we consider. And so if we do that, it's useful to have an identity map that acts between different chartable spaces. And so we define it in this way. So this is the identity map, and it's defined so that if you map up to the dollar A space, then you replace, for any point in here, you replace it by a point in dollar B, which has the same numerical values for the coordinates, the same blanks. Then you map it back down with the inverse super atlas into WB. And that gives you this fiducial identity. This is especially useful, for example, if you want to consider two manifolds match, then the way to check that is going to be to use the fiducial identity map at the boundaries to see if they match one another in the appropriate way. I'll check about that later. Okay. So next, I want to consider, I started last week considering this restriction operation, but I'll start again. And this restriction operation has a similar role to trace in quantum theory. So imagine we have a region B of operational space, which is a subset of a region A. So this is in region B, this is in region A. Then we can write down, so the solution, a solution in region A is going to be this kind of thing. I think I wrote it already. Okay. I want to map that to a solution that lives in the B region of operational space. So there's a few steps in doing that. So first of all, let's construct this object. What I'm going to do is take all the points in this solution that actually pertain to this region B. Okay, so M, so B is the bit of the manifold, this manifold that maps inside here.
So phi is different, or are they the same?
Sorry, which?
The phi.
Yeah, at this stage, the phis are the same. It's just, because phi is just, maybe I should put the P in again. Every time I write this phi.
I just wasn't sure if the, you put little serifs on the second one.
Oh, it's my handwriting. Yeah, you're right. Yes.
Right. That's fine.
I should be consistent. Since the font is going to be very important, I need to perhaps be more consistent. Okay, and then this here is defined as, it's just all the points that map into the region B. So if you look at the value of S, that's the set of scalars that span operational space, then you just keep the points in this manifold here that map into this region B. And the way I've defined this is a subset of a chartable space A. And remember I said that I want to associate a different chartable space with every region of operational space. So I need to map this thing into the chartable space associated with region B. So what I will do is I'll say, this side B tilde, which is the thing I get by restricting, to B, is what I get if I act on the solution I just wrote down with the fiducial identity map. Is that clear? So this thing now lives in. This thing now lives on the manifold that's in chartable space on WB. You can also define this restrict operation acting on a psi without a tilde. It's just given by the restriction on each element. I said this is like the trace. Actually, it's sort of slightly different from the trace. In the trace, you trace out. You say the trace, you know, in quantum theory, you might say, well, if I've got a density matrix AB, I can take the trace over B to get a density matrix that lives on the A side. Yeah, like that. Okay. This, you could instead define a restriction type operation. It'll just be the same definition. Okay, so this is playing a similar role here.
You're missing some diffeomorphism here, right?
Where, sorry?
In the set.
Here.
Yeah.
It's okay because this is a set. This is a set of elements that are related by different morphisms. So I'm going over all of those in here. And actually, like I said there, like I forgot to write down here. Where is it? Yeah. These things, I call them pure solutions. Because every element of this is related by a different morphism. It turns out to be useful also to have mixed solutions, which don't have that property, where there may be more than one equivalence class in there. So this definition is more general, because it would apply also to mixed solutions. Okay. So what I want to talk about now is the spaces of solutions. This omega is a space of solutions pertaining to region A, an operational space. Just like in quantum theory, you have Hilbert spaces or for your space of solutions. And spec, well, there's different sort of ways you can specify these spaces of solutions. So in particular, you can say it's an actual solution. Or it's a candidate solution. And then also you can add the specification of it's pure or it's mixed. So for example, the spec could be actual pure or actual mixed and so on. Candidate solutions are just these functions, and all you demand of them is that they're sufficiently differentiable so that gamma sub A is continuous.
Okay.
But you don't demand that these actually satisfy the field equations. And then actual solutions are candidate solutions, so they have to be sufficiently continuous that this is continuous, that this is sufficiently smooth that this is continuous. But they also have to satisfy the field equations. The field equations, remember, consist of the matter field equations and also Einstein's field equation. And then mixed solutions. Are solutions that can be written as the union of distinct solutions. Okay, so any solution that can be written as the union of two solutions that are distinct are called mixed.
Why do we want to consider the space of solutions that don't satisfy the field?
In truth, most of what I do, I don't use this space. I just use the actual space. But if you're thinking about, if you're interested in finding, because space for theories in general, of which the ones that satisfy these field equations are a particular example, then it's useful to have this bigger space available to you. So it's interesting to have that as a possibility. Any more questions?
So then that's the idea also going towards quantum gravity in principle, the idea that quantum theories we have not.
Yeah, I mean, I think you'll need a bit more than that, but yeah, at least you'll want maybe to consider not just actual solutions, but this candidate space, but then also the, in quantum theory, you have solutions which are superpositions of different distinguishable situations. Whereas you don't have that here, so you'd have to enlarge the space even more to go to quantum theory. I'm hoping I'll get some time at the end of this series to talk about ideas.
So this extension is not yet done?
This extension is not yet enough for quantum gravity, I would say.
Example of the mixed solutions?
Just if you take any two solutions that are pure, so here's one solution that's pure. And then here's another solution, we call that prime. So now we have that psi tilde prime and psi tilde double prime are physically inequivalent. So they're not related to each other by a diffeomorphism.
I'm confused because typically in GR you cannot really add solutions to each other.
You're taking this the union. So yeah, because we're working here with this in the psi space, which in the psi space in psi consists of a set of psi tildes. So we just enlarge that. It turns out, you might say, well, why would you consider these mixed solutions? They seem to be worse than pure solutions. Well, they kind of crop up naturally when you try to join solutions together. And so I'll talk about that either this week or next. Yeah, they're less specified. Just like in quantum theory, when you have a mixed state, it's a mixture of different pure solutions, so you kind of know less about the system. Likewise here, a mixed solution is it's a case where you know less about the situation. And one place they might crop up, actually, even here, is if I take if I form this object, and this is all the solutions which map onto gamma A, then it could be that there are physically inequivalent solutions that map onto the same gamma A, in which case this object will be mixed. Okay, and this is a very natural object here because gamma A is the stuff we can directly see.
Yes.
Okay. So this notation is a little bit cumbersome, and just to have a default, my default when I write that without giving any specification, what I mean is actual pure. So that's the default. Just a notational point.
Sorry, actual pure and.
Sorry, this is default.
Default.
Yeah. So, if I don't if I don't provide a specification in these objects, then it's just the actual solutions that are pure. Okay. So there's an interesting subtlety that crops up here. Over to this one. So we consider actual pure solutions. Well, the same thing is true for the other cases. The same thing is true for actual mixed as well. So let's define imagine I have region A, which is inside some region C. What I'm interested in is the set of actual pure solutions that live in region A that can be extended to solutions in region C. So if you have a solution in region C and you take the restriction, you get an element of this set. So because of the way we've is that clear what I'm saying here? So because of the way I've defined it, it has to be true that this is contained in here, because this set is more restrictive than this set. Here we're looking at all solutions that live in region A, or actual pure solutions of region A. Here we're looking at those actual pure solutions which can be extended into an actual pure solution in the bigger region. And the question, which I don't have an answer to, is Are there cases where this is a proper subset? Okay. But since we don't have an answer to that question, we should proceed as if this may be true in some cases. So we mustn't assume that any solution in our region A can always be extended into a solution for the bigger region. Any questions? There's a few more operations we can define. Okay, so so the sort operation is the operation where you act on a mixed state and it returns a set of all the pure states that you take the union of to get that mixed state. So this is one of those operations that's defined, and yet it would be very difficult in practice to actually to do this. You know, because if you're given you're given lots of solutions, you'd have to check to see if they were physically equivalent or not to sort through them into their different equivalence classes. But nevertheless, it's useful to have this notion. And it's analogous in quantum theory to the operation to the operation where you have a density matrix and you take the decomposition into pure states. Take the pure states that have to be mixed together to form that density. And then flatten is the inverse operation. So flatten acts on the list of these solutions and returns the union. So if you think about so this will give you something that you can call psi A. All these solutions are in operational region A.
Yeah, I just meant like the region L.
That's not region, sorry. That's region. That's just a label. It's labeling the different pure solutions you get here when you do this.
Oh, okay. I was confusing it with the other notation where you had like a gamma A there instead, and psi A was all the solutions that map.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, so I have the habit of using these square brackets to put identifying information in. But it can be different sort of identifying information. So this is just a label, whereas gamma A is.
Okay.
It's sort of the least evil of all notational conventions. Okay. Yeah, so if you have some mixed state and you take the sort, you get a bunch of pure states. Well, you could think, if you know that your situation is described by that mixed state, you could say, well, the actual ontological situation is one of these pure states. You don't know which one it is. So you have a situation that's described by a mixed state. Here, the actual ontological situation is one of the pure states. Interestingly, in quantum theory, you might not want to make the same assertion. In quantum theory, if you have a density matrix, and there exists a decomposition into pure states, but you might not want to assert that the actual situation is one of those pure states, because for any given density matrix, there are arbitrarily many different decompositions into pure states. But this is classical physics, and so you can do that.
Do you expect that in quantum gravity or something?
No, in quantum gravity, I think it's not going to work. I mean, yeah. But a lot of things might have to change before we get to quantum gravity. Okay. So I want to talk about some special solutions now. What I'll do is I'll push this up. Okay. So the first solution is the empty solution. So this is the empty solution. When psi tilde A is just the empty set. What that means, if you look at psi tilde here, is that this manifold is the empty set. And you'll get this situation, you know, if you have the region of operational space, so you have operational space and you have some region that you're interested in, then you have your gamma surface, but the gamma surface doesn't intersect the region you're interested in. In that case, there's no, there's essentially nothing happening in this region of operational space that you're talking about. And then you can write down the diffeomorphism invariant version of that, which is where you take the set consisting of all diffeomorphisms acting on this, and that's just a set whose only member is the empty set. It's worth noting this is a solution, so this is a pure solution, and it's a member, it's an actual pure solution, because at every point on the manifold here you're satisfying the field equations just by default, because there's no points on the manifold. So it belongs to your space of actual pure solutions. It's true for any region. Furthermore, if you take small enough regions in operational space, then this will actually be the generic case, because operational space is very big, and this gamma surface only occupies a small part of it. So most regions, most small regions in operational space will just have the empty solution living in them. Yeah?
That seems like a reasonable expectation. It wouldn't depend on the scalar coincidences you picked in something.
Yeah, I mean, sure, you could, there could be cases where, I mean, I'm just advertising it as a reasonable expectation without any particular proof. So.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next special solution is the null solution. So you might think the empty solution is bad. The null solution is even worse. So the null solution is given by saying that psi, not psi tilde, but psi, is equal to the empty set. That means that the set of solutions associated with psi, with the null solution, is empty. Okay. And so this corresponds to the proposition that's always false, because something must happen even if it's nothing. So it's interesting here that you go from a situation that's generically true to a situation that is always false just by adding an extra pair of curly brackets. Okay. Any questions?
I think the interpretation is a proposition,
wouldn't it? Well, at this stage, it's just a set of solutions. But later on, I'll be talking in propositional language. And then this null solution will correspond to that proposition.
What operation is in the square brackets there? Like what is
this? Is a bold zero.
Right, but what is a square bracket? Like what, I just kind of lost what happens. What happens when I put something in the square
bracket? So the sort of notation I'm using is these square brackets are used to identify particular properties of the solution.
It's just a label?
So it's a label. Yeah, well, in the case of L's, it was a label. In this case, it's identifying the solution, the null solution, so the one that has this property that this is true. So it's just a name. Let's just think of it as a name.
Does that thing have, is that a point in up space?
No.
It's
not, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Its definition is that it's not a point in up space.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it would be better if I use this sort of notation. Think about how things are identified in, you know, programming languages. And then I have different spaces I can put the things that I'm identifying. This could be gamma A, this could be, you know, Elf version of gamma, you know, like this. But I'm being notationally lazy.
Right.
So whatever's here is in square brackets can refer to different spaces. It's not always the same space. So this isn't a function of some given type of object, just a way of labeling different things.
So it's not like I'm doing something to the side.
This is not an operation. This is, I think the.
So these side A correspond to something that's. With the bottom.
I call this the name, or sort of identifying name. You know, so if you see a gamma in here, well, you know it's that thing. If you see a boldface zero. It's let's do this. Yeah. So I'm not being consistent about the objects put in this. It would be cumbersome, I think, to develop a more precise notation. So next, as an example I gave already, I just erased it, which is a given given gamma solution. So this is the set of all psi tildes. That map to this particular gamma surface. Which I'm consistent with map to. This is a useful object because this is the stuff we see, and so these are the kinds of solutions we have living in the background. And then we can also have a coarse graining of this. I call these the coarse grainings, I call operational solutions. So this is where living inside this region A, this is A. Maybe there's a whole set of gamma surfaces. And so on, you know, some set of gamma surfaces. And they live in a set, O sub A. And then we can define psi of O sub A as the union of the given gamma solutions.
Presumably, this is different from taking the union of gammas.
Yeah, so you mean if you put a union inside here? Yeah, that would be that would be quite different because it could be that one with just gamma sub A, you have a solution of the field equations. If you now demand that solution hits another set of gamma, then there's nothing that does that, and so you have the null solution. So it's a very different object. This is kind of a coarse graining. You know, operationally, it may be that you don't actually see exactly which gamma A set you have, but only some coarse graining. And so this is useful for that. So I call these operational solutions, as the more general things you get under this coarse graining. And they belong in this space of operational solutions. Okay. So I think this exercise is useful because it starts to give you a feeling for how these solutions look and what kinds of properties they might have. So the next topic which I'll just introduce. I've got 10 minutes, so I can't make that much progress. The next topic is composition. So this is where you have two regions of operational space, and you want to join together the solutions. Okay, I'll try to draw two regions inside operational space. So you can see we have here region A, region B. And they meet on this surface here. This is surface A. So this is where the font starts to get important. So that's backslash math SF A. Maybe I should just write down the LaTeX code, and then you'll understand perfectly what I mean. Okay. And what we want to do is we want to combine two solutions I'm interested in solutions that are actual solutions, but they could be mixed. We want to combine them by imposing boundary conditions where they meet on this surface. Okay. So what I mean by where they meet on this surface is actually quite non-trivial. So it'll take us a little while to tease apart that statement. And the appropriate way to combine or to join these operations is by this double cup operation. Okay, so I haven't defined what I mean by this union sub A. I'll explain that in a moment. But what you're doing effectively is this union sub A, what it does is it takes the union of these solutions when they match, And if they don't match, it just replaces this thing with the blank element. So I found this double cup symbol in the list of LaTeX symbols. You know, there's a very big list of LaTeX symbols that you can print off, which I spent a lot of time looking at over the time I wrote that paper. And then I did a lot of searching on the internet to find out what the usual mathematical definition of this symbol was. And so, you know, I spent a lot of time looking in these different forums of people discussing exactly this question. And there wasn't really agreement, but the most obvious thing, and the answer that came up most often, was that the double cup is a set formed by taking unions, so something like this. Of course, here we have this extra thing with a subscript A, which is doing something non-trivial. Anyway, this seemed like the best symbol for this operation. And what we're doing here is we're going through and we're checking pairwise every solution that's in the set associated with psi A. With a solution in the set associated with psi B, checking them all pairwise to see if they match. So if these are pure solutions, and we find that two of them match, then we know that any diffeomorphism, if we apply sort of effectively the same diffeomorphism to each of those solutions, then they'll still match. So if we get one match, we'll get infinitely many matches. And if we get no matches, then we get no matches, I suppose. So this seems to be the best thing we can do, is to go through and check and see if they match, and if they do, then we get a whole set of possible matches. One thing that can happen, and I'll talk about this next week, is that they can match, but it could be that these matches, you get different matches which are not physically equivalent. So you may have here pure states, say pure solutions, psi A and psi B may be both pure. So all of the psi tilde A's in here are physically equivalent, and likewise here. And yet you may get matches that are physically inequivalent. I think I talked about this in the colloquium. I called this property non-separability. So I'll explain that a bit more as well. Let me just... So this solution, this thing here, we take the union, but we've got this subscript. What we're doing is we're taking the union if they match, and we give it the blank element otherwise. And I feel like I have to put inverted commas around this, because we have to be a bit more careful here. This solution here lives on a manifold that's inside a chartable space WA, whereas this one corresponds to WB. And so at the point where they meet, we have to identify those bits of manifold, and so we have to be a bit more careful. But I'll talk about that next time. Okay, that's probably a good place to stop. Are there any questions?
The given gamma A solutions that are at the top of this board here.
Yep.
Are those typically mixed, or capture typically mixed states? Or?
Right. So it's a good question. If you have enough scalars. And if your gamma A surface has the same dimension as your manifold, then they'll tend to be
right,
pure.
Yeah.
Because then you can show that then with enough scalars, you've got no degeneracy, so you're not plotting many points into one point, and there's enough information there to calculate all the fields up to diffeomorphisms.
Right.
So then they tend to be pure. Yeah.
They tend to be pure.
Yeah. I mean, even generically, in a messy world, they would be pure.
Yeah.
Any more questions?
I guess there's nothing in the way you construct them. It's just like a set theory union. There's no like weighting on various. circuits.
That's right, yeah. So later on I'll talk about, well, I may not get time actually because I've only got six lectures, but later on in the paper I talk about probabilistic general relativity, and then you do introduce weighting. Yeah, for the time being it's more of a possibilistic notion. So you take the union of all the possible, all the possibilities. One thing you're interested in is if you take the union, you describe some situation locally in lots of different regions, and in each of those regions it's possible, and you want to know if the total thing is possible. Well, if you have the null state at the end, so the null solution at the end, then you know the thing is impossible. Otherwise, it's possible. So. Any more?
Are you always assuming with this composition that they meet at the boundary and not some more general region?
So I'm always considering either they don't intersect at all, which I call the null join, or they just intersect on a surface, sort of mention one less than the total surface.
So why to do that, or just that's what you need to think about?
Well, that's sort of what I know how to do. In the case of quantum theory, when you have operations, the operations don't overlap; they are sort of distinct boxes. And then you have, in this sort of operator tensor framework, you just have matching conditions, or conditions that live at the boundary between those boxes, but they're not overlapping. On the other hand, if you look at the stuff that say Kevin Costello does, he has also this sort of picture wave, but you have his regions would overlap potentially. And I think I don't know that field very well, but I think there's this algebraic quantum field theory, and maybe someone else knows that better than I do, but in that the regions overlap. So there is this other way of thinking. And in principle, you could imagine having your boundary, the things that here are called boundary conditions, having them just be overlap conditions and make sure that the overlap regions satisfy all the appropriate properties. And probably everything I do would still go through, although I haven't tried to do that. In the classical case, at least. In the quantum case, I don't. Any more questions?
I take an open neighborhood of up space doesn't necessarily result in, open neighborhoods of solutions.
Of what? Sorry, solutions. I mean, I always consider closed regions of up space.
It's not going to happen that if I take us, because I have only the scalar points that is living on the manifold.
Yeah.
We want to imagine manifolds that are consistent with that.
This is what's it?
I imagine like a set of manifolds are consistent with that set of coincidences. You can imagine that if I make a smooth change through up space, that might not be a smooth change through.
So I assume when I set up the sets of solutions, I assume all even my candidate solutions have the property that that they give rise to smooth gamma surfaces. To continuous gamma surfaces, so I don't jump around in op space on a particular solution. And that's just physically motivated by saying the solution shouldn't have.
They can
overlap
themselves,
gamma. They can, like gamma A and gamma B.
Or gamma itself.
Oh yeah, that's right, you mean it can, yeah, in principle, it could sort of go through itself. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You can have quite well behavior. What I don't want is for the gamma surface to stop and then sort of reappear somewhere else, so it has a discontinuity. Because otherwise, the operational space is has a sort of particularly.
It would fail if you had like a fluid moving.
Why would it fail? If all your fields describe the fluid were continuous and sufficiently differentiable, then you'd be okay. I mean, if your fluid had sort of hard boundaries, then yes, it would fail.
Would shock waves be okay?
I have to go through all the different examples. My feeling is that any place where you get a discontinuity, usually that's very close to some case where you have continuous solutions. So. And it corresponds to some idealization that you don't want to treat the real physics, so you sort of sharpen it so that there's a discontinuity. Okay, any more?
Can you explain more the regions and operational space? Because So we are talking about GR and mapping into operational space, and then we're talking about regions that would probably correspond to labs or something. But
yeah,
there's no explicit way to do that mapping because we have to take the labs also to the operational space.
You have to take what into account?
The labs or whatever experiment.
So the regions could correspond to laboratories, or they could correspond to pieces of apparatus in a laboratory, or anything like that.
The regions correspond to like questions or propositions you can.
Yeah. So a region. You know, a region has, there's lots of different gamma surfaces that can live inside this region. They'll have some things in common, you know, because they're. And they'll have some things that are different. Just like in a laboratory, you know, there's lots of different things that could happen. They'll have some things that are in common and some things that are different between them.
So I guess my question is, like, similar to the way there are many manifolds that can map to the same gamma.
Yeah.
I'm asking if there are many operations that you think about that can be mapped to the same region. Is that prescription necessary to complete the?
So in my work on quantum theory, well, later in this paper as well, when I define an operation, in this case, I define an operation as a region of space, so a region of operational space, but then with some specified gamma A set, or maybe more generally a set of gammas if you coarse grain it.
Okay, so it's defined from the operational space.
Yeah, so operations are defined. Operations pertain to regions in regions in operational space, and they have associated with them gamma A sets. That I'll come to later. Okay, great, thank you.